past few weeks. But I asked them if they would play that for us this morning, because this morning I want to talk a little bit about train up a child. And I know some of us are past the age of when we did some training on our kids, but we're still grandparents. And we still support the family in that manner. And a lot of people do ask why we keep the children in here. And so I thought Haley did a beautiful job explaining that a lot of times we feel the church is responsible for training our children. But that's not who God gave them to. He gave them to the parents. And we're going to talk a little bit about this morning. Don't shout me down while I'm preaching good. Let's see, do we have the PowerPoint going? So I just wanted to talk a little bit about, we chose the lemon theme this year, and it was a spoof on La Mom, which is French, if you know. I'm from Louisiana. I think I have somebody else around in here from Louisiana, too. And so the La Mom in French is the mom. And so that's why we chose that theme. So to get us started, I'm going to do a little bit of fun and talk about lemons and their great characteristics. I don't know that you can see that. Well, I guess you can see it. Back here, it looks awful small. So some of the qualities of a lemon are that they're antibacterial. And so when I'm thinking about La Mom or the mom, we know that moms can remove harm out of a kid's life pretty quick, can't she? We also know that lemons are heart healthy, and we know that moms can discern the intent of our heart many times. We know that lemons improve digestion, and we know that moms know how to create a healthy appetite for good things in their kids' lives. We know that lemons can help in dissolving kidney stones, and we know that La Mom can soften some harmful blows in the kids' lives. We know that lemons are great for refreshing malodors, and I'm going to just do a little bit of Benaya and say that the mom knows how to remove stinking thinking, right? Lemons are antioxidant, and we know that moms can move in quickly and remove negative influences that they discover in their kids' lives. Lemons also can promote satiety, or a feeling of fullness or satisfaction. And we know that moms can really quick point out to their kids that they've got a lot to be grateful for. And then there are some studies coming out that say that there are some properties of lemon that help fight cancer. And then we know cancer is a rebellious cell. And we know that moms surely, surely, surely can recognize rebellion when it starts in their kids. So, La Mom, that's what we're talking about today. So today I want to talk about training up your children. And for grandparents, that may be assisting more now than it had been in the past in training up your grandchildren. I want to start off by talking about Proverbs 22:6. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And we read that often, and we skim over it, and we start talking about, oh, yeah, we need to make sure we get them to church. We need to make sure we get them to youth group. We need to make sure we get them to Sunday school. But it does not say send your kid to church so they can be trained up in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. So let's take a look at this verse a little bit more in depth. You know, in the common Webster dictionary, hang on, I'm going to stop. The Lord just prompted me for a minute. I am thankful for strong women of the Lord and women of the Lord who go out and do their work in society. And I want to do a quick shout out this week. We had some women this week in our congregation that accomplished some things this week. So really quickly, I just want to point out Miss Diana over here. Her retail shop had a big grand opening this week, and she survived it all and spearheaded getting that together. And so we just want to recognize her for her hard work. And then the other one is Miss Jennifer Dumeyer. She received a great award. Florence Nightingale, was that what it was called? They're called different things in different places. But she received the Florence Nightingale Award here in Midland, Texas. And so for all the work that she does in her nursing job, so I just wanted to recognize her briefly. Because, you know, marketplace ministry is what we got to get into. I mean, we can do some good work in the church. I'm here to deliver, help deliver with the Lord. But sometimes it's in the marketplaces where we meet people that are struggling and need our help. And so we got to get outside the four walls. And so I wanted to recognize these ladies who are doing marketplace ministry and still did a great job with what they were assigned to do in the marketplace. But back to train up a child. Plain Webster Dictionary tells us that train is to teach a skill or practice over time through much practice and instruction. It doesn't say to tell them one time. It says it's to repeatedly instruct and give them practice in the skill. Give them practice in the skill. They need to practice obedience or whatever skill it is you're working. In Hebrew, that word train is to dedicate or initiate. They liken that word to a practice that's done in the Middle Eastern countries with a newborn where it's called rubbing the palate. They're talking about the palate or the mouth of a newborn where they take and rub that palate with either oil or a date or something, and that is to stimulate the digestive system and the appetite of the child. I'm just going to wait a minute and let you let that sink in for a minute. So when the Lord is telling us to train up a child, he's telling us to set the appetite and to dedicate and to allow practice of that child in whatever it is we're training them in. What appetite are you stimulating in your child? It says to stimulate that appetite of the child in the way he should go. That word, the way he should go, means the way he should be assembled. Now, we are worried about the generation, and we keep saying, what has happened to the generation? But what kind of appetite did we stimulate in the generations? What kind of appetite? What idea did we give the children on how to assemble themselves? What were the parts that we laid before them to build themselves upon? Okay? Brings on a whole different meaning in that verse, doesn't it? It says, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That word depart means he will not decline it, and he will not escape from it. I love the word escape. Once you've set that appetite, then it's hard to escape from it. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can put me wherever you want, but I'm still going to want gumbo because I was raised on gumbo. I don't care where you put me. That appetite for gumbo has been set hard and fast as a child. And so I'm going to want that wherever I go. If you are from Mexico, you probably want something else, tacos or burritos or something. But for me, it's gumbo. Pastor Bo says, we don't eat gumbo when it's hot. I go, I'm from Louisiana. We eat gumbo. It just doesn't matter. We just eat gumbo, and that's the way it is. Okay, in Proverbs 13:24, it says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. We're going to look at this verse as well. I'm not here to argue with you whether you should or should not spank your child. That's not what I'm here to do. Okay? I want you to take it a little bit deeper and understand the sincerity and the purpose and what happens when you do not train or discipline your child. In this scripture, it says, he who spares, that word spare means just withholds, whoever withholds his rod. And most people think the rod is a rod of discipline and spanking, maybe a belt, maybe a, what do we call it, a chancla? You know what I'm saying? Switch. But the word rod here is not what you think it is. And the word rod here is from the word shavat. And that could mean a scepter, a staff. It also is an indication of a tribe, a family, or belongingness. So if you withhold that rod, you're withholding that belongingness. Most people do not like to discipline their kids because it hurts their heart. But in reality, when you're withholding your scepter, think about it when Esther approached the king. Remember the story. He either put forth the scepter to accept her, or he would not, and that would be considered. The scepter is a symbol of authority. The priest would carry it. Noblemen would carry it. Theirs may not be the scepter as you think of the king. It might be more of a staff. The shepherd carried it. The shepherd did not use it to hit the sheep. The shepherd used it to guide the sheep and point the sheep in the direction they should go. So the rod is very important in the family. And if you withhold that rod, it's also a symbol of authority. When you're withholding that, it is not a good thing. It says you hate your son. The word hate means turn against or make a foe or an enemy of. As I was reading this, and I mean, you know, I've known about discipline and all these things, but as I was reading this, my heart just cried as we see kids who are rebelling and just turning on their parents. And sure, that behavior is inappropriate, but you go back and you wonder, what was missing? What was missing in that? He who loves his child disciplines him. The word in Greek for this is masar, and it's to change or to instruct. Another word that is used is tekanon, and it means measuring, examining, or weighing. Kids don't raise themselves, and we have to be paying attention to where they are, what needs to be developed, what behaviors need to be stopped. We need to be weighing and measuring and taking our scepter to give instructions. No, we're not going to do that. Yes, come over here. Yes, come close. That's what we should be doing. We should be measuring and weighing and looking. And then it says, discipline him promptly. That means to look at it early. That means to recognize it early. And I just want to say, it is very important that as parents, especially in the days we live in, that we have a discernment of spirit. And we get our spirit to the place that we get it cleaned up, that we can clearly hear a word from the Lord, that at any given moment, he can snap at us and he can say, you got an issue over there with child number two. Take a look at that. I I think we try to parent in the flesh, and there is some flesh, but we need to parent by the Spirit. If we want to grow spirit beings, and we're all spirit beings, then we need to do the work of the Spirit. We wrestle not against. So we need to take a closer look at that. Let's look a little closer at Shavat. That scepter was a sign of the ability to approach, being accepted as the tribe or the family, acceptance. It was also authority. It was used, I said, by priests, kings, and landowners. I want to make sure you got that. So let's take a look again. Let's read those verses in the light of the Spirit and in the light of that Shavat or that rod. It's a picture of a parent taking on responsibility of the one in authority and using the authority for measuring and instructing. In today's world, I see the children that have the authority and the children that are calling the shots and the parents that are being appeasing and not looking early and dealing with behaviors early. The Shavat is also like the striking of a gavel to give a verdict or bring order. The judge doesn't administer the punishment, so to speak, but he says, this is enough. We're going to bring order to this. There may be punishment, but that's what the rod is for. And we need to understand what our rod is, and I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit can help us very much. I hope you guys are following me on the slides. I'm not giving you very good instructions. Proverbs 11:24. Let's read it again. A father withholding his authority to examine, set boundaries and laws as a king does for his kingdom makes an enemy of his son. A loving father or parent keeps a watchful eye, measuring, examining, and weighing for early recognition of issues. The world has fed us a brainwash of this is the developmental stages our kids go through. You can expect the 2-year-old to act this way. You can expect the 5-year-old to act this way, so forth and so on. But I want to caution you, sometimes that is nothing more. They are giving you what they're looking at on a flesh basis, and they're telling you the behaviors that you're going to see if you let the flesh in your child rule and reign. Let's go to the next slide. Wait, let's go back. I got to read that one more time. I got to read both of those one more time. A father withholding his authority to examine, set boundaries and laws as a king does for his kingdom makes an enemy of his son. A loving father or parent keeps a watchful eye, measuring, examining, and weighing for early recognition of issues. You can go ahead. We're spirit, soul, and flesh. He doesn't say train only the flesh. He doesn't say train only the spirit. He doesn't say train only the soul. He says train up a child in the way they should assemble themselves. Set an appetite for them. Here's what I find happens when children are born. The flesh is there from the beginning. It's what helps them survive. The spirit or the cognition is not there yet for them to be able to make an active decision for Christ. That comes about usually, Miss Gloria, wouldn't you say 4, 5, 6 kids are able to make a decision for the Lord? Isn't that when we usually start seeing them make a decision? So they've had 4, 5, and 6 years for their willful soul to do what it wants, unless the parent is measuring, weighing and dealing with some behaviors. In our society, what we have done, because Dr. Spock wrote a book and told us, we appease the behaviors of our children. When we do that, we're allowing their will to grow stronger and stronger and stronger. So even when they come to the point of making a decision for Christ, that will has grown to be a mighty man. And that was never intended to be the case. So when we're training up a child in their early formative ages, we know 3, 4, and 5, kids learn so much at that time. The majority of their learning is happening at that time. That is a time when we need to, how do we grow their spirit, Linda? That's why I played the worship video. Because we need to get our kids in the presence of the Lord. We need to whet their appetite for the presence and the things of the Lord. Instead of just feeding them other things and video games and whatever appeases them. We need to get them in the presence of the Lord. That's how their spirit is going to grow. And when the time comes, they'll be able to make that decision. As far as their mind and their emotions, we need to begin to feed them the Word of God. No, they're not going to be able to sit under a teaching like I'm giving you today. But yes, they can be given scripture that will help them. I can remember with BJ, one of the scriptures I gave him was out of Psalm, and it talked about, mightier is the man who can control his emotions than the man who can tear down a city. That's a principle of the Lord. And so those are the scriptures and the principles we need to begin to give the kids. Grandparents, this is a beautiful time, a time for you to teach them the wonderful Sunday school songs that have the word of the Lord in them and that gets them thinking in the right way. So we need to be training the way they're thinking and the way their emotions go according to the word of God. And then I've already talked to you about the flesh. You got to keep their will and flesh in check. If you don't do it when they're young, you will be wreaking havoc when they're old. You need to be sensitive to anything where they're rebelling against your instructions. And I know that a lot of people will not like what I'm about to say, but this can begin as early as 6 months of age. When you tell the child no, and they don't obey no, there needs to be a consequence for not obeying the no. If you will deal with it with a pat on the hand at 6 months, you'll spend less time in the restroom at 6 years of age. It will rip your heart out less if you will deal with it at 6 months than when you are having you feel like all I do is spank all day. I've been there. I have 4. I know. But the Lord kind of really touched on some things that could have helped me back in the time. Training must be all three pieces. All three pieces. You cannot just concentrate on the flesh and their little skill sets that they need. You've got to begin to stimulate the spirit. You've got to begin to deal with that emotion. The goal is to break the will without crushing the spirit. So the goal is to deal with the behavior and build the spirit. So we wouldn't be attacking, you know, it's the same thing as condemnation and conviction. You don't want to condemn that person. Satan comes and condemns you and says you're not good enough, and he attacks you. the Holy Spirit comes in and he brings conviction and he talks about the behavior. That's, you shouldn't have done that. But he never says, you dirty, rotten scoundrel. He just says, now look, you're a child of the Lord and that's not the way we should act. That's how the Holy Spirit convicts. And that should be the basis on which we're doing our correction. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying mama can't raise her voice and don't mean I'm not going to throw the chancla from time to time. Because remember, we're human. We'll have to ask forgiveness. And we can ask Jesus for forgiveness and we may have to ask the kids for forgiveness as well. Let's look at Ezekiel 34:4. Thus saith the Lord to the shepherd, woe is the shepherd of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and you clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. Now, most people want to say this is the shepherd. This is talking about the pastors. But actually, when you look at that word shepherd, it is the one who tends. The one who pastures. The one who provides food. The one who tends to. As a parent, the children are given to you to tend. So what did it say? Let's say it's parents. It said, he told the parents, let's put parents in place of shepherd. Woe is the parent of Israel who feeds themselves. Should not the parent feed the flocks, which would be our children, the sheep of God's pastures? You eat the fat, you clothe yourself with wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. And sometimes we chose to have children and we didn't count the cost. And so career comes first. Maybe what else could come first? Maybe I want to look a certain way so I don't want to ruffle my dress so I don't want to mess with the kids. Maybe I want to look like the tough guy so I don't want to have to mess with the kids. I'll let the wife do that. It can be all those different things. But the plain and simple fact is they had gotten very selfish. And they were busy caring for their needs and they were not paying attention. Probably I should say they were caring for their wants. And they were not caring for who they were assigned to tend to. Ezekiel 34:5, this is what happened because they were not tended to. They were scattered because there was no shepherd or no one to tend to them, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. And in the scripture in Genesis 3, he talks about the beast of the field being evil spirits. He talks about Satan being in the earth, and he was the most cunning of all the beasts of the field. So when the Bible talks about beasts of the field, he's talking about demonic spirits. So the sheep, or our children in this case, are scattered because there is no tender, no parent to tend them, and they became food for all the beasts of the field. Demonic spirits when they were scattered. I don't even know if I need to go in and explain that anymore. I mean, that is very crushing when we look and we see kids that are under the demonic influence of drugs, alcohol, suicide, I mean, homicide. All of that is demonic spirits influencing the generations. All because they were not tended to. Don't get me wrong. You may go home, put food on the table, and you may have your kids in every kind of activity there is. But if you're not tending to two with the scepter and measuring what needs to be taught, what needs to be stopped, and you do it quickly. That takes a discernment of spirit. I mean, most people think that when you're in our pastor taught this in Houston all the time. She said her daughter was changing the first child. They were laying on the floor and the kid kept rolling over to get up and run away, rolling over, getting up and run away. She says, you need to stop that now. She said, you've told them to lay there. You've told them to be still. Let them change your diaper. And they are rebelling against what you said. I mean, that's young. That's young. But a spat on the behind or the hand at that point is a lot less severe than at 13 when you're fighting and throwing each other in and out of rooms and throwing things across the room. And it gets that way sometimes if we haven't trained our children. In Daniel 4:11, it talks about the Babylonian tree. The Babylonian tree, or the Babylon, is meant to express a mixture of the church and the world. When you read about Babylon, that's what it always means. If you remember, the children of Israel went into captivity with the Babylonians. And do you know that after they were released and able to leave captivity, only 10% left? They had become very comfortable with the worldly culture in Babylon and did not want to leave. It says that tree grew strong and taller than the rest. It became beautiful and it was proudful. And the fruit on it appeared to be abundant. It said the birds of the air lived in its branches and wild animals found shelter underneath the branches. And this is the last thing it says about it. All flesh was fed by it. When we allow a mixture of worldly things to come in and get into, and we don't see it, measure it, and get rid of it early, we are creating a situation where the birds of the air, which it also talks about in the parable of the sower and the seed, that the birds of the air are Satan who comes and steals that seed. We grow a tree where we allow the birds of the air to rest in our branches. We allow demonic things, evil things, to be around us and our kids. And we don't discern it. We don't recognize it. We don't get rid of it promptly. We need to measure those things with our spirit. Your spirit man, you need to activate it in your parenting life because it should be able to discern something's not right. And then the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. So we have the birds of the air in the branches and we have the beast of the field right around under the branches and in our family, and we're allowing them to habitate there to devour our kids because we're not tending to them. So not only do we not tend to them, we also bring the devourers close and allow them habitation. I had to say, oh, me too. Psalms 1:1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scorner. The word for blessed there is Asher. It means to be straight. It means to advance. Straight is the man who walks. Walks means access. When you're walking in the counsel of the ungodly, you are giving access to counsel from the ungodly. And it's one thing to walk, because I can be walking and I can meet up with you and we can just casually stroll for a few minutes together, and then you may go your way and I may go my way. But boy, if the conversation gets interesting and my discernment is not up, you may say something that will catch my ear, and then we're going to stand, and we're going to chat for a minute. Let me hear more about that. Really? You don't say. So then I begin to stand, and I allow more credence to that ungodly counsel. Stand means to take a stand, and the path means to the direction or the manner. So then you begin to stand, or you take direction, or you set your manner according to sinners. Nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Sit means abide. Seat means a dwelling place or a settlement. So when you begin to sit, because after a while we've walked together, then I need to hear more about that. And then I say, wait a minute, I really need to hear about this. And then I sit and I really give you time of day. And then those things begin to abide. And then I begin to make my settlement or my dwelling place in those places. So we have to have a discernment about these things. We should not, I'm all about education, don't get me wrong. But we need to be careful when we get secular information and we are going to base our life upon that secular information. Whether it has to do with our lives, our marriage, or our children. Let me do this one other scripture, then I'm going to go back to Psalms 1:1. Daniel 4:14, it talks about what the Lord instructed to do with the tree who had grown proud and had branches with the birds of the air and the flocks and the beast underneath it. He instructs him, chop the tree down, cut off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruits. Let the beasts get out from under it and the birds from its branches. However, leave the stump and the roots in the earth. There's always going to be a remnant. There are going to be a few who dig and study in the word of the Lord. There are going to be those of us who believe in the presence of the Lord, who believe in the Holy Spirit guiding and direct us. And those are the ones that our roots are going to dig deep, and we're going to be like a tree planted by the water where our leaves never wither. So let me read this from you. This is, again, Psalms 1. It says, what delight comes to one who follows God's ways? That's the blessed is the man. He won't walk or access in the steps of the wicked. He won't share the sinner's way, nor be found sitting in the scorner's seat or the mocker's seat. His passion is to remain true to the word of I am, meditating day and night on true revelation of light. He will be standing firm like a flourishing tree, planted by God's design, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, bearing fruit in every season of life. He is never dry, never fainting, ever blessed, and ever prosperous. This scripture is where I want my kids to be. It's where I want to be, and it's where I want my children to be. So I'm going to take my scepter of authority, and I'm going to guide my kids. And I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to me and say, you got a little behavior there that if you don't deal with that now, it's going to be a monster in the future. I'm going to allow the Spirit of the Lord to guide me. I'm going to get on these things promptly so that I can correct my children with a gentle word and a tender word before I have to get serious and maybe break out a little bit stronger rod or throw a chancla. So that's the word that I have for us today, is to begin to use, as especially as we begin to experience God's presence here so real and in worship was so wonderful. Three ways we have to train our children. We have to work on the spirit, we have to work on the soul, and we have to work on the flesh. Parenting is to tend to the things that God gave you. And if we don't tend to the things that God gave us to tend to, we scatter them out and leave them open for demonic forces and demonic spirits to invade and begin to work in their lives. So I want you to just bow your head this morning. It doesn't matter if you're a parent, if you're grandparents, it doesn't matter. We're all on the same direction. We have to figure out what that goal is. And remember, that goal is we want them to be like a tree planted by the water. When things get tough, their leaves don't wither, their roots are strong, they produce good fruit. That's what we want for our kids. Just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what are you telling me today? Because he's not going to tell me what he tells you. He's not going to tell you what he tells me. Because we all have different things we have to work on in our lives. Just ask the Holy Spirit. He is the teacher. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? How can I be a better grandparent? How can I be a more supportive grandparent? If you're a parent, Lord, show me the little things that come to wreak havoc in our lives. Father, show me the little areas that I need to work on and develop in my children. Holy Spirit, give me creative ideas to inspire them. Give me ideas on how to have time to be in your presence or make time for them to be in your presence. And then, Father, I ask for your hedge of protection. I ask for forgiveness for the times that we are not tending to what you've given us. Father, if tending is not natural to us, then I ask you to come in, Holy Spirit, and teach me how to tend. Teach me how to tend. Teach me how to shepherd. Father, teach me what that rod and that scepter is for. Father, help me understand my authority in my own household. Father, help me set my household in order. And we'll thank you and worship you all the days of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.